In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and it's time for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. I'm joined today by Alex Hagen, the rhythm guitarist and lead vocalist in Baltimore, Maryland's The Ravagers. Their latest album, On the Loose, is out on Spaghetti Town Records, and it features our recent coolest song in the world, Dogs. We'll get a snippet of that, and then I'll be back to chat with Alex for your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Manfred and Little Stephen's Underground Garage, and on the line with me now and geared up for today's coolest conversations is Alex Hagen. He's the group's lead singer and rhythm guitar player. Their new album is On the Loose, and it features our coolest song in the world, Dogs. How are you, Alex?
What's up, Manfred? I'm great.
You are great. You are the best. The absolute best, man. I found out that you guys had the coolest song coming up, and I'm thinking, wow, let's see, we spoke. Originally back in like June of 2021, that was in advance of the release of your Badlands album, that single Down the Road, that was our coolest song in the world at the time. So, good to be speaking with you again, and congratulations on the new album, On the Loose.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'm excited that it's finally out. We put a lot of hard work into it, and we're on tour right after its release, so it's great timing.
So you guys are still based in Baltimore, right?
Two of us live in New York. Our guitar player, who's from Baltimore, moved to New York, about 10 years ago. And our new bass player, Sam Harris, is from Queens and has lived here his whole life. So.
And yourself, you were from Baltimore originally, right?
Me and the drummer still live in Baltimore, and I'm from Baltimore, and so is the drummer, so.
And so, what's the distance? Is that like 4 hours, or 3 hours?
Depending on traffic, if you're lucky, it's 3.5 hours, or if there's terrible traffic, it can be up to 4.5.
Well, that's still pretty doable.
It's not bad.
Yeah, then the Woggles, the drummer, he lives in Tuscaloosa, and that's like 3.5 hours from Atlanta. And so he has to drive the I-20, which is like a trekking route. He's weaving in and out between the tractor trailers. So, yeah, that can be crazy. All right. So when we spoke before, you had mentioned playing bass before you were playing guitar. I think you said it was like an upright bass. But I don't remember. So we never talked about what had you playing, like the first string instrument, what had you playing bass and not guitar originally? What drew you to the bass before you were playing guitar?
I guess my music classes in elementary school kind of offered a strings section, a small orchestra, kind of intro to orchestra. And we got to pick an instrument, and the bass was the coolest one to me. So,
so that upright bass, did you ever climb up on the upright bass? Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I had to stand on a stool. I was in second grade when I started messing around with one of those.
Wow. And So what got you playing guitar then?
I always liked music that I heard on the radio. My parents listened to the local station in Maryland, 99.1 HFS, and it was the alternative radio station. And I liked the way the guitar sounded in a lot of those songs. I gravitated towards all the punk bands that they were playing at the time, like The Offspring and Green Day and, you know, all the Nirvana and all the grunge stuff that was coming out at that time in the 90s. So it was just something I heard every day. And when I first saw a guitar, it was an old classical guitar that was my mom's when she was a kid. And I was like, oh, that's what that instrument is. And I just started messing around on it. And then once high school rolled around and I started getting collecting music myself and listening to stuff like the Ramones, I started learning those songs because they were so easy to learn. And it was just power chords. Someone on a school bus taught me how to play a power chord, and I just applied that to all of those simple punk songs. And that was how it started.
The guitars, your mom's like old acoustic guitar, was that off in some closet or?
Yeah, it was just always in our house, wherever. We moved around a lot, and it was just always there. And something that was, it was one of those, it had nylon strings on it. Very, very old and out of tune.
Tuning? You were playing punk rock, you know.
It was fine.
It becomes jazz, you know. It's like jazz all of a sudden, punk jazz. So you've been evolved playing music for a while since, like, did you start your first bands in high school?
Yeah, I messed around with some friends in high school. We would just jam in garages and stuff, maybe play a talent show, but it was nothing serious. It wasn't until I was kind of like away from my parents and back in and out. And I moved back to Baltimore after high school into the city. And that's where I started playing in punk bands. And I had an electric bass, and it was just an easy instrument for me to kind of join a band with. Everybody needed a bass player at the time. There were lots of guitar players, so I jumped in with that. And then after that band dissolved, I started playing guitar and writing my own songs because I didn't like any of the music that anyone else was doing. So I kind of just decided to be a band leader and take it from there.
And let me ask you then about, because this didn't come up before, about your folks and stuff. Or are they, your family in general, are they supportive of you being a rocker?
They are now. At first, it was kind of like they wanted me to be focused on having a real career or whatever. And I went to art school to study graphic design. And that's what I do now. I've kind of molded both into one thing where I do freelance graphic design and touring in a band. I meet lots of musicians, and I love looking at album artwork, and I love the early designs from the 70s and 80s and the hardcore punk looking stuff. And I just kind of use that my style, and just networking through touring and meeting people. I've turned into the guy that gets hit up for show posters and t-shirt designs and logos for bands and stuff. So it's, I'm not just like living in a girlfriend's closet for waiting for the next gig, you know, so I can buy some food.
Man, that was a terrible girlfriend to be hanging out with if she was keeping you in a closet.
Yeah, it happens, though.
I mean, I don't know what the twist on that. Maybe that could be fun for a little bit, but that's just not the way to run your whole life. So you guys, have you ever played with, you must have played with the Wildlife before?
Absolutely, yeah, they're our buddies.
The reason I bring them up is that the Spencer, the bass player, he's also a graphics designer guy.
Yeah, me and Spencer have always bonded over art and stuff like that in general when we've been around, and we like talking about that kind of stuff. He's really talented, and I love his art and stuff.
Us too. Well, let's talk here. Our coolest song in the world this week is your single Dogs off the new album On the Loose out on Spaghetti Town Records. Like your album Badlands is produced by Tuck Smith. He was the lead singer in Atlanta, Georgia's Biters. And your lineup also features the former lead guitarist of the Biters, Matt Gabbs. I want to talk about that song in a moment, but first, just about the album in general. When and where did you record On the Loose?
We recorded this last fall, and right before we went on tour with the Super Suckers, and we went down to Atlanta and recorded the record. We did some pre-production with Tuck in Baltimore before we drove down to Atlanta to record, and it came out great.
Where in Atlanta did you record, and who did you work with there?
Record Studios. Dan Dixon is the engineer, and it's his studio. He plays in a couple bands in Atlanta, Drop Sonic and PLS. And he's just a great engineer. He knows what his studio sounds like, and he knows how to make bands sound great and take the just sonically take the drum sounds amazing. And that's why we like working with him.
And then the album has got like 10 songs. When were you writing these songs? Are they fairly recent, or they holdovers from the last couple of years?
Over the last couple years, writing while I could. A lot. I had probably like 4 or 5 songs throughout the last couple of years, and then the rest of the record came together pretty quickly once I knew that it was time to start recording. Once I have a deadline, it kind of helps me sit down and really get to work. And I started working and doing pre-production with Tuck, and he contributed to 2 of the songs on the record, and a lot of the other ones too, just with arrangements and stuff. And
well, yeah, he was working like a producer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which was cool. So he wants the record to be the best it can possibly be, and we would bounce a lot of creative ideas off of each other.
Well, speaking about your work as a graphic designer, did you do the album artwork for On the Loose?
Yeah. I've always done all the art for our band, and this one in particular, it has an illustration of a dog on the front with chains, and the back is has some photos from a local photographer in Baltimore, Danny Siebenhaar, who we've worked with on some music videos and photo shoots in the past.
Well, we mentioned, or you were talking about Tuck's abilities as a producer, helping with the arrangements especially, and of course, Matt, being your guitar player, used to be in the Biters, and you also did artwork for the Biters, right?
Yeah, I did pretty much all their album covers.
And did you also tour with them on guitar?
I didn't play any instruments with them, but I did tour with them just because I wanted to be on tour and kind of understand how it worked out on the road. And they were cool with me going with them and jumping in the van, and I would sell merch or just hang out. And it was a lot of fun.
And so while you're riding in the van, did you have to fill up those Mountain Dew bottles?
Yeah, there were pee bottles.
That's the worst. When they're rolling around on the floor, it's like, don't touch that. Don't
exactly.
Touch that. Yeah. Well, I'd like you, because this is pretty cool. So you got Matt in there and Tuck, both were in the Biters. So you obviously have got a close relationship with these guys. How did that develop? How did that start?
There's always a Baltimore-Atlanta connection throughout bands over the years. Matt was in a band, Fishnet Stalkers. Tuck was in a band, Heart Attacks. I was in a band, Living Wrecks. And we would all we'd play shows together at the Sidebar in Baltimore, or Star Bar in Atlanta. We just liked each other's bands.
Yeah.
And then Matt joined Biters eventually and was commuting to Atlanta to play in that band. And then they ended up breaking up over some record label stuff, and Tuck started his new project, and Matt has always been kind of somebody that's helped me with Ravagers, and I learned a lot of guitar from Matt living with him over the years in Baltimore. So he was also in the studio when we recorded our first EPs, and he kind of helped us to produce them and just make sure that they were the quality that we wanted them to be. And so he already knew our band, and we're great friends, and I thought it would be cool for him to play in the band, and finally he had that time available to do that. So I really started taking it seriously once Matt joined, and we started writing and doing a lot. And the same with Tuck. He's always been around, and I would show him songs that I was working on and writing, and he would be like, oh, you don't need to add another part in that song. Just play the same chords, but write another melody over it, and that's your whole song. Don't overthink things. He just kind of like gave me a lot of insight and tips on writing, and that helped me a lot throughout the years. So I respect both of those guys as musicians and friends, and it's cool to have them in my corner here with the band.
Absolutely. Well, let's focus some on our coolest song, Dogs. So this is a tune that you wrote or did.
Yeah.
Okay. So what got in your brain and told you or made you come up with Dogs?
I was writing over, I had a drum beat. It was originally a back beat that I was writing over, and I came up with the riff, and I loved the riff. And it was just, once I had that, I was like freestyling lyrics over it, and they just kind of came out of nowhere. The first verse came out of nowhere, and then so did the first chorus. And I think what was going on in my brain at the time was I have this Crime Watch app on my phone that gives me crime alerts about things that are going on in my neighborhood.
Well, that's important in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got to stay alert over there sometimes. And I had these alerts popping up on my phone saying that there were wild dogs attacking people in my neighborhood. And I think that's kind of where those lyrics came from subconsciously, was just thinking about wild dogs. And I was like, yeah, it's a cool thing to write a song about.
Well, you got a line in Dogs where you sing Hell is Freezing Over. And then the video for the song looks like it was shot in winter. Looks cold, man. Was hell freezing over when you guys were out there doing the video for it?
Yeah, it was. It was freezing. And the song was kind of just like, when I wrote the song too, it was from the winter before. And it was just getting so cold and it was just getting dark early. And I don't deal with the winter very well. So it was just kind of like a frustrating song about just kind of like touching on those things too. And when we shot the music video, the record was coming out in the spring and we needed a music video. And we didn't have any time to shoot one between, you know, before the release of the record. And we were talking about doing one in like a studio, but I was just like, no, I don't want to do that. I want the songs to reflect, I want the videos to reflect the songs, and I want to show our environment and the city that we live in. And we toughed it out. We went outside, and it happened to be the coldest day of the year, and there was supposed to be a snowstorm, and luckily the snow didn't hit until later.
Right, but there's snow on the ground all around you, though.
There is, yeah, and there's flurries in some of the shots. It's coming down.
What is that? Let me ask you, what is that dog that's in there? What kind? Is that like a pit bull or a boxer mix or something?
Actually, a cane corso named Drago. And he was a well-trained dog, and he came down, his owners brought him down, and because he was so well-trained, and he was able to do things on command. It still wasn't easy, but we got him to do some stuff like jump up on the fence and bark. He was such a nice dog that I wanted him to look mean, but he was a really nice dog. So every time he was barking, he was just playing. And I was like, oh man, it's going to be hard to make this guy look vicious, but
it comes across. He looks good. It looks good. I like to hear that. Of course, that he's a good dog. But
yes,
but in the thing, yeah, you could definitely. So do you have a pet? Do you have a dog?
I'm a cat dude. I got two cats.
What are their names?
I got Church and Randy.
Church and Randy. And do you ever wake up with those guys on your chest?
Oh, all the time. Yeah, or my face. Yeah.
Giving you some good cat butt love?
Yeah, they're good boys.
Well, I know you're missing that good cat butt love now because you're overseas, right? You're touring in Europe right now.
Yeah, yeah, we're in Germany, and we're going to be in Germany for a while, and then we have some shows in France, and then we end the tour in Spain.
Oh, man. So what is your favorite country to tour in overseas? Like in Europe, what's your favorite?
So far, I think I like Spain the most because the weather's always been beautiful.
Yeah, I have to say Spain. I have had a lot of great times in Germany. In fact, it's funny to me that formerly fascist countries have always got the greatest crowds for rock and roll, you know?
It is weird,
Spain,
yeah.
Germany, Italy even, you know, I don't know why that is, but...
I don't know if I actually have a favorite either. I think I've had a great time in all these countries too. I think just being in Europe is awesome, and no matter what country I'm in, I'm going to have a great time and I'm going to enjoy myself.
How often have you played overseas now?
This is our second European tour. The last one we did was in 2022, and it was great. And this one so far is awesome.
Well, how would you compare playing in Europe to playing it just across the States?
They treat you like you're a bigger band. They respect you more. They, on top of paying you, will give you a hotel. The crowds are better. People care more about music that has guitars, and they care more about rock and roll, and they respect that, and they understand that it's important to support that, or else it's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment of that. It's been my experience as well. But thinking about the States, you're going to do this. You're doing the tour now of Europe. When does it end? When do you come back?
It's about a 5.5 week tour, and it ends in I think May 15th or May 13th. It's somewhere around the middle of May. We fly home from Barcelona.
Okay, all right. So you've taken care of that part of the world. Any plans to tour the States later on this year?
I think there's some stuff in the works right now, but I'm not really sure what the dates are, so I don't want to throw it out there. But yeah, we'll be out.
Sure, sure. But I thought that was cool. You mentioned having played a tour with the Super Suckers. Is there any chance that you might be hooking up with somebody that's a little bit bigger even?
I would hope so. Our booking agent submitted us to a few other bands we're hoping to hear back from. I'm also into just headlining our own tours too. So there'll be a bunch of shows happening like that around the East Coast throughout the rest of the year, and hoping to fly out to the West Coast and do a run out there. But yeah, if there's any other big bands that want to take us on tour, we're down. Let's go. Let's do it.
Excellent. Well, the other track I want us to hear off the new album, off On the Loose, is Night of the Bastard. Now, is this one that you solely wrote, or was it something that Tuck contributed to, or what's the story on Night of the Bastard?
Yeah, I put this one together. It's kind of about a lot of our early days of the band hanging out in bars where people were out of control and creating chaos around them. It's kind of about the drunk dude in the bar who likes to fight people and just, you know.
So you've run into Night of the Bastard all across the country.
There's a bastard everywhere you go.
So all across the world. This is a thing.
Exactly.
This is for that dude. Why is it that you're doing it? You're like in a club, and pretty quickly you can figure out who that dude is, right?
Yeah, it's just the look in their eye. You can see, you can tell just by looking at them across the bar, and you can see the way the alcohol affects them, and it's Jekyll and Hyde, and it goes from fun to bad real quick.
So have you ever been in a situation where the bastard is locked eyes with you and now there's trouble?
Oh yeah, there's been a couple times where I've had face to face altercations with bastards. One guy in Germany, or no, in France, came up and got in my face about he thought I kicked him off the stage. He was jumping on the stage while we were playing, and I think I may have pushed him off the stage because he was stepping on my guitar pedals and stuff. And he came up and tried to start beef with me after the show, and I just kind of laughed and just told him I didn't understand what he was saying to me. And yeah, he was giving me that evil eye. He really wanted to fight. So I called our drummer over and I said, "Hey man, I don't really like to fight, but our drummer Ray loves to. So he's coming over here right now." And it got squashed pretty quick though. He didn't do anything about it.
But. Well, good. Good. You were making me, also, and that made me think of one time we played in Norway, and it was, I think, the city's Tromsø. It's like north of the Arctic Circle. And, at the show, it's a very small, it's a small club, but that's kind of like where they put rock shows, right?
Yeah.
And there was a guy that claimed that he was in the Hell's Angels, like the Norwegian Hell's Angels, you know. But he definitely had that look. He was just the guy, and it could have gone really bad with that guy. But our guitar player at the time, this guy Jeff Walls, was just. Oh yeah, he's just really good with working with a guy, and kept everything cool, and yeah, those guys. It's just you never know. They can be cool one moment, and then they're set off somehow. They're triggered. It's just
they respond really well to different tones, though. I've learned over the years kind of how to avoid, like, I can tell when those guys are getting crazy and they're about to start some shit, but then I can kind of diffuse the situation with like the tone in my voice. But if you come at them with hostility, with the same hostility they're putting out, it's all over. They're gonna take it to the next level,
right. Alex, man, thanks again for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Yeah, Manfred, no problem.
Well, we're going to take a listen now to Night of the Bastard. It's the Ravagers off On the Loose in Little Steven's Underground Garage. With some of Night of the Bastard, that's the Ravagers off their new album On the Loose, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's Alex Hagen for speaking with me on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza and Kurt Baker for producing. Jeremy and the Harlequins, they're favorites of ours here in the Underground Garage, got their roots in Toledo, Ohio, but they've been based in Brooklyn and Manhattan for a while now. They got several new singles out, and we're going to be catching up with band member Jeremy Fury. He's my guest next time around for our Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.